You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
And of course, we're going to shed some light on being in a bomb.
Listen up.
There is a thing that's called entertainment. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course, I call that motivation.
Lean in. Listen up.
OMG, OMG, OMG. Welcome to OMG, the O Mara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and producer of the newly released award-winning film, STEM the Movement. And do you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. It's a perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think that if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, speak up and into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us. And on tonight's show, I have the opportunity and you get the privilege of listening to one of those such beings. This guest for tonight is not only a speaker, an author, a coach, but she's also a personal friend. I've known her for over 15 years. We've done so many amazing things together, and tonight I get to have a conversation with her, and you get to eavesdrop on said conversation. It is with great joy and pleasure that I introduce to some and allow others to listen to the conversation. Please welcome with a virtual hand clap, my friend, RJ, the courage giver. RJ, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Mara. What an honor it is to be called your friend. Thank you, girl.
You are more than welcome. And for those that are tuning in, we want to let you know tonight's conversation is about courage for the course. And everybody knows you can't have courage for the course without having some confidence, without having some vision. So we've got a hodgepodge of things that are going to take place, because I know personally that RJ has a toolbox overflowing with life lessons. So we're going to jump right on in with just a couple of things that I personally have been privy to. You, RJ, in the last few years have had some life-altering situations. I want to ask about one of those. There was a situation that caused you a lot of pain. It was an accident that caused you to have a brain injury. So I'd love for you to share what happened, and then we'll unpack it and kind of find out and explain to folks how we're able to, how you were able to locate the courage for the course. And before you answer that and kind of go into the story, I want to remind our listeners, our phone number is 347-324-5246. You're going to press 1 if you'd like to enter the conversation. And RJ, hold the thought on you introducing it, because there's someone who's already eager to get on the call and the conversation with us, and I'd love to give them an opportunity to perhaps ask a question or make a comment. The last four digits are 3618. You're on the line with Mara and RJ.
Hi, how are you?
Beyond blessed. Who are we speaking with?
Okay, so this is Charlene from Maryland. And the
Charlene?
Yes, Charlene Smith.
Charlene, welcome to OMG.
Hi, so I'm calling. I'm interested. I don't know what to expect, so I'm open because the encourager invited me. So
excellent.
I'm open to anything positive, learning, and moving forward in life.
Well,
so I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, Charlene, we've got a wonderful show on deck for you, so you continue to listen in to the call. Is there any other question that you wanted to ask now? If not, you can also call back in if there's something that RJ and I have a conversation about that you'd like us to discuss further. We welcome your questions as well as your comments.
Well, thank you. That's so kind of you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah. So we'll call you back in a little bit. If you have another question, just press 1, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
So RJ, tell us a little bit about how the brain injury came about, and then we'll unpack it and kind of discuss a little bit. And Charlene, again, thanks so much for taking the time to call in.
Yeah, let's do some unpacking. I think that's a great idea, because most of the time in life we walk around with our suitcases overpacked, overstuffed, and we can't go anywhere, let alone talk about being on the course. So the topic itself, Myra, it just sets us up for success. So first, let me just say shout out to Miss Charlene. Thank you so much for calling in and being a part of this journey with us and going on the course with courage with us. So let me, if I may, just speak to this amazing topic, courage for the course, because you asked me to tell you about a brain injury. So courage for the course is about having a direction. It's about knowing where you're going, because if you don't know where you're going, you'll never know when you arrive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one night I was actually going on the freeway to help a friend of mine get to her destination. She had a course. She knew where she was going. And we were actually having this amazing conversation about our dreams, about life, about our passion. And honestly, Mara, it's my story. But unfortunately, I can't tell it. And the reason why I can't tell it is because in the midst of going on that trip, taking that course, we were involved in a major life-threatening car accident, which, as you stated, caused not only me, but my two passengers to suffer a brain injury. The car was so messed up, they had to use the jaws of life to get my passengers out of the car.
So you were driving?
I was driving.
Okay.
And all I could remember once life started unfolding in front of my face was, well, I couldn't actually remember, so that's not the right word. And even today, I still am healing. People look at me and they see the beauty of the Lord upon my face, and they think I'm good, but I'm still healing. I still struggle. I still can't think of everyday words like the, or it takes
right.
me a long time, or somebody needs to fill in the blank for me with the word because it just doesn't process.
I remember
the
us
word
having
I won-
conversations, and you were, you know, you had shared with me, you know, you were reaching for words and really striving to work on getting the words back and your vocabulary back. And it has been, it seems miraculous, but I personally do know that it is still, it is a daily challenge, and you exercise the courage to go deeper and further and grasp even more every single day.
And there's a good reason for that. And that's because I know that I've been called to help women who are dying to live understand
yeah.
that they do not have to live where they're dying. And they certainly don't have to die where they're living. I quit. If I get off course, there are people who are depending on me not that I'm God, but God has given me an assignment, and they're dependent on me to do my assignment. And if I don't, that means they die on my watch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I say? Not on my watch.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So I said the word remember. That
you went away. I'm sorry, your voice is in the back somewhere.
So I said the word remember, but that's not really the word I wanted to use. The word I wanted to use is when I came to and I realized what was happening, all I could say was, what did I do? So immediately afterwards, guilt hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for so many people, as they're traveling on this course,
mm-hmm.
they don't have the courage to tell guilt to get out of here. And they live with guilt.
Yeah, that's one of the first reactions, I believe, to a loss, a major accident, a divorce. You know, people immediately feel the guilt kind of rest on them, and then they have to be told what the actual circumstances that caused the wreck were. So I'm glad you addressed that. I'm glad you brought that up. That guilt factor is huge when it comes to even healing from some of the trauma that takes place, not just the brain trauma, but the emotional trauma, the spiritual bankrupt trauma that sometimes occurs as well.
Well, the accident didn't kill me, but had I allowed it to, the
mm-hmm.
guilt could have killed me.
Yeah,
and
that's
today,
good.
And today, so many people are dying because of guilt. They've survived so many things,
mm-hmm.
but they've taken on what the enemy has given them in the form of guilt by saying, it's my fault. I did something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in the form, if I can just add that, in the form of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, domestic violence, rape. I mean,
yeah.
I can go down a list of how people, even when a loved one passes away unexpectedly, people run the litany of, you know, what could I have done different? What didn't I do to support them? Why didn't I see the signs of it? I mean, it is a phenomenon, guilt, that is, that can rest on people in such a way that it overwhelms them and cause that inward thing called depression to set up so strong that it's even hard to remember to wake up and brush your teeth, to shower, to get out of bed, to open up the blinds in your home and allow the sunlight, the sunshine, a glimpse of hope to even enter the space.
So true, Mara. And if we could just take a moment to remind everyone who's listening, it's not your fault.
No. No matter what you were wearing, no matter what you were doing, no matter what you were driving, it is
not your
fault.
It is not your fault.
Yep.
And it takes courage to accept that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So how long ago was this car accident, RJ?
Well, it's been a little bit over 2 years now, and one of the things I still suffer with is dates and times and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
if you ask me to give you like a timeline, that's a struggle for me. It's not that I can't do it. It will just take way longer than what we have today.
No, no problem. I wanted to allow our listeners to know, because of the next couple of questions that I'm going to ask you, so that they could kind of understand the context. What are some of the physical limitations that have incurred as a result of the car accident that took place almost about 2 years ago?
Well, as we talked about, the brain injury. So when
mm-hmm.
the brain is not functioning, your other organs kind of get confused on what they're supposed to do. As a result of the accident, I was in the wheelchair for about 15 months, and so unable to walk, but I'm continuing to trust God. I am up out of the wheelchair. I currently walk with a cane. However, my God is faithful, and I'm trusting him at his word that he said would not go out and return. So I'm walking today with the cane so that somebody can see what God can do if you just continue to trust him and lean on him. So I told people, yes, I have crutches, I got a wheelchair, but I lean on God. That's what I lean on. So The walking has been a major thing for me because right before the accident, I was running 5Ks. I was bringing home medals.
Yeah.
You know, I was throwing strikes, bowling 180, you know, and then all of a sudden I can't even put on my bowling shoes because I can't wear shoes right now. Mm. So that's really an illustration of walking by faith and not by sight.
Right, right. So there was the brain injury that, of course, caused organ confusion, and then there was you couldn't walk. And was that neurologically related, or was it because of a nerve, or because something was crushed in the crash?
I really wish I could tell you,
So the doctor didn't say your legs weren't smashed or broken, correct? That's what I'm asking.
Nothing broken.
Okay, great. So nothing was broken,
so we don't know
if it was new. Okay, all right. And then I also, I'd like, because there are some listeners out there who have been in an accident or may have been born without the ability to walk. What gave you the courage? Because sometimes when people are confined to a wheelchair and they were used to running or used to walking, they don't strive to get up, or they began to just think this is as good as it gets, and begin the woe is me, and the pile on starts there, and it kind of ends there. What gave you the courage to want to? Because even while you were in the wheelchair, I was still watching. You were still out there doing your thing. You were still writing. You were still speaking hope into people's lives. You were doing. We were on. I can't think of the audio show that we were on. Online, what's the name of the show? Anchor. We were doing Anchor. I mean, you were doing all of these things, and your grandchild. I'd see your grandchild on your lap, and you're wheeling him around in the wheelchair. But what do you think? If you could say one or two things, caused you to have the courage to pursue the things that you still wanted to do, your passions, as well as to use that experience to empower other people. Now, I know you're a coach, and I know you're a motivational speaker, and that you inspire and encourage a lot of people. However, when we find ourselves in the bottom of a pit, and I'm meaning in a situation that is so new and so different, we're human too, and all of that wealth of darkness can come upon you. What helped you to come out of that, to come from behind the darkness and, you know, not only propel but excel at the things that you were doing?
That's a great question, Mara. Thanks for asking. And I just want to say, you're right. Sometimes people forget that we're people too. They want to know that the courage giver is courageous. And so that's the only way they want to see me. But
yes.
I'm human.
Yes.
I just allow my courage to press me into God's. So you asked for one or two words or two things. So I'm going to start with the word gratitude.
Mm.
Because I realized that God saved my life, I refuse to give it up myself.
Amen.
I refuse to lay there and die after God has spared my life. Mm. And I remember being in my room because for the most part, for about a year and a half, that's as far as I could go.
Yeah.
I remember being there saying, and this is what happened. I got a letter in the mail, and it was from the airport where I volunteer. And the letter said, thank you for your hours of service up until this point. And when I looked at that, I realized at that very moment that I was no longer in a position to do the things that I love doing.
Mm.
I couldn't serve. I couldn't help. I couldn't go out. I couldn't do anything. I had to depend on someone for me to do everything.
Mm.
And I cried out and I said, Lord, you saved me for a reason. And that means you're not going to wait to use me. So I'm going to make myself available to you right now. What is it you want me to do? How can I serve you right here? And he said, you got a computer. And I was like, but I can't even talk.
Mm.
Well, use what you got. And I got on the social media. I think it was Periscope. Yep, Periscope. And I got on there, and here's my second part of the answer. I got on there, I was authentic, I was transparent, and I shared with people my story. I didn't have no shame in my game, and they saw that I was the real deal, and they supported me. They said, we're going to help you learn how to talk again. So I would do what I could, and I had a community of people supporting me, saying, we'll do the rest. And I'm on live social media doing a live broadcast and couldn't think of the word. I'd be like, and people would be typing in the word. Is it this? Okay, are you trying to say that? Now that's courage.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And it's encouragement.
It's encouragement for you and for them, but it's also the courage it takes to reveal our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our inadequacies, and more importantly, the courage it takes to be authentic, knowing that it can be judged, it can be criticized, and you know, sometimes social media can be a cruel place. But one of the things that I know to be true, and I know you know to be true, when you are standing in your truth boldly and confidently, as well as humbly, the Lord has a way of protecting you so that those who do tune into that message are those who are seeking the greater good. Even though there's always trolls, you know, there's always that. But it's as if the Lord puts a Holy Ghost wall around his children when he knows that you're stepping out into unfamiliar territory and you just have a desire to help someone with what it is you have. You know, I'm reminded of the story of the widow white woman. What do you have to, the woman with the oil, what do you have to give? I have nothing but a little oil. And in your case, you had the ability to still type and to still communicate, albeit it was limited in a way, but you still had the ability to encourage and to share your life lessons. I want to pause for the cause on that little note, and we'll come back and pick up some more and unpack some more. We're going to take a station identification break. I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, and my special guest is my friend. Her name is RJ, RJ the Courage Giver. We'll be right back. You're listening to the OMG Show.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kind of love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG. I'm Mara Gale, your host, and I am with the special, talented, gifted, amazing woman by the name of RJ, RJ the Courage Giver. And we were speaking about her car accident and some of the things that occurred after the car accident. But I also want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to call in with a question or if you have a comment, you can dial 347-324-5246, press the number 1, and you'll be entered into a queue to be added to the call. RJ, there's a couple of other things that have taken place in your life. There's a whole bunch. We, of course, will not be able to get to all of this, but I'm trying to allow the audience and our listeners to understand why they call you the comeback queen, why they people know that you have an ability to overcome some of life's toughest and most devastating challenges. You know, you, as we shared, have had this brain injury, but you also I know suffer from a rare eye disease that causes when you're reading on the computer, it's not just a regular size font and a regular situation. Can you share a little bit about the rare eye disease and what kind of experiences you've occurred so that we can then unpack that and share, you know, how the courage for that course was started?
Sure, Mara. Thanks for asking. You know, Stevie Wonder says just because a man doesn't have eyesight doesn't mean he doesn't have insight. Mm. And so I can definitely understand that, Mr. Stevie Wonder, because the doctors for years have said that I do not have
eyesight, but as Helen Keller says, but I still have vision. Mm-hmm. So I actually have been created by the Almighty to see differently, and I'm okay with that. So let me just share with you a little bit of how I see. I see with my heart and not my eyes, because as you said, I do have a very rare eye disease. It's kind of hard to go into stating the name of it right now, but I do have a very rare eye disease. I was diagnosed with it when I was very young, and I've lived with it all my life. I never use it as an excuse. I just do what I've been called, commissioned to do, and I've learned to ask for help. And let me tell you something. It takes a lot of courage to ask for help. When people see you doing things normally, and then all of a sudden you throw a curve and say, well, I don't see that. And they're like, what you mean you don't see that? It's right there. And they're not understanding why you can't see that. It takes courage to say, well, can you help me? While they're standing there saying, girl, what you mean? It's right there, you know?
Right.
So with the rare eye disease, I've learned to look beyond what my eyes may or may not see and go with my heart. And that's one of the reasons why when I see people, I say, hello, beautiful, because I see them for who God created them to be. Has nothing to do with the color of their hair, their MAC makeup, or anything. It has to do with who they were created to be. And yes, it's challenging. It's challenging to read. It's challenging to do certain things. But I've learned to find a way around it. And it's so funny that sometimes, Mara, people are helping me and they don't even realize they're helping me.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
I want to now kind of segue a little bit into, you know, some of the things that I know you are skilled and gifted at. And one of those is sharing with other people if they need more courage. I'd like for you to share with the listeners, you know, what's the first step that a person should take if they need more courage? Someone needs more courage. What would you say would be the first step they should take?
Well, let's look at the topic that you chose for today. Amazing topic, by the way. Courage for the course. And so course means you understand where you're going. And when you know where you're going, it's an indication of you know who you are. So the first step I would suggest to people in order to define what they already have, because God said he did not give us a spirit of fear, so that means we already have courage, is number one, be clear on who you are. When you're clear on who you are, you know what attributes follow that. But when you're not sure of who you are, you allow your circumstances to dictate your character and what you believe and who you think you are, then, yeah, it's going to be hard to find and use that courage that's already inside of you. But when you know who you are, then you can take the course of action that's needed to propel you to a higher standard of greatness. So I would say the first step, know who you are. Know that if somebody says, hey, Sally, you're not answering because you're not Sally. Know who you are.
Amen. Amen. You know, I've been privy, of course, because we've been friends for quite a while. I know that your father went on to be with the Lord not too long ago. And for some, when a parent is no longer here on earth with us and we're looking to the day to meet with them in eternity, that's such a devastating blow. And I know your dad and you were extremely close. And because I know that there are listeners out here, I have some personal friends who have lost a parent. And when I say lost, you know exactly where they are. They're in glory and eternity with our dad, but some that have made their transition. What was that experience like? Not on the other side where you are now, which is, you know, you've discovered the peace that surpasses your understanding and you know, of course, where he is. But what was the emotional journey, not the arrival, but the emotional journey that you went through tending to your dad, going to visit him and then him making that transition? Not like, the part that we're going to talk about, because we're going to go on the course of how you found the strength and the courage to go further.
Okay, so hold up. Wait a minute. What other side, girl? I'm still on this side trying to find the peace, working through, working through. And see, this is what courage really is about. You don't have to have arrived to show that you have courage. You have to continue to know what your promise is. And who you are. So let me tell you what it was like and what it's still like. You know, and if anybody follows me on social media or they know anything about me publicly, all on my website, they know I'm a daddy's girl.
Yeah.
Because I have to say, I always say that William and Rhoda Jackson conceived me. Sister Marge saw potential in me. All I want you to do is see Jesus in me.
Hmm.
I had great parents, and not too many people can say that. I had amazing, God-fearing, family-loving parents. I watched my mother, after never seeing her sick except for a cold and an eye situation she had, I watched her take her last three breaths and die. Then I get to go home and be with my dad for about 5 months, along with my sisters and our family. I got to watch him live out his last days here on earth. I got to care for him 20 out of 24 hours. I got to be by his side. I got to hold his hand. I had the privilege of feeding him. It was very difficult watching my dad not being able to do the things he loved, not being able to talk, but because it got to that point, it was hard.
Mm.
And let me tell you, if it wasn't for God on my side and me determining long time ago that I was going to be on his side, like the song says, I never would have made it.
Hmm.
I wouldn't be able to have this conversation with you right now. Losing my dad has been very painful. Just the thought of you sharing made me well up inside. Yes, I know where he is. I know I will see him again. But it does not negate the fact that I miss my daddy.
Yeah.
And if you have lost a loved one, you understand. There is, especially if you had a connection to them the way I was connected to my father. It hurts. But courage on the course says, I'm going anyway. I'm taking my pain. I'm giving it to God for his glory. I'm helping by sharing my story to tell someone else, you're going to make it. Matter of fact, let's walk this thing out together, because I can't say I understand, but I have some empathy. I can put myself in your shoes because not only have I been there, sister, I'm right there right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry, of course, for your and the loss of your parents, but I do know that both of them knew the Lord and that they are in eternity with our dad. So that gives me comfort. You know, that gives me great comfort. We here at Up to Me Radio have, you know, all of the platforms are set up to help encourage people, inspire people, equip people with whatever the necessary tools are. And one of the things that I love to do on OMG is, of course, give tools, practical tools for people to walk out steps in their life to get to the destination. And since our show is about courage for the course, you know, along that journey of courage for the course, there had to have been some confidence to get back out in the field. I see you traveling all over the place. I know you're doing a women's conference that we're going to speak about before the close of the show. But the confidence, where does the confidence come from, RJ? Because you exude it. It oozes out of you like a great fragrance, and not a bold to, I'm going to smack you upside your nostrils and give you a headache fragrance. It's a very sweet, pleasant, lingering fragrance that that comes from you, and that is, of course, confidence. You know, I have a song on my CD called Confidence Must Be Your Name, and I, like you, I greet people. I used to curse really bad back in the day, and I remember when the Lord allowed my profanity to be, or the cursing to be, replaced with compliments. And so whenever I greet people, I too say, hello, beautiful, you know, or hello, handsome. And it's not me flirting or being untoward. It's my heart saying, you are beautiful no matter what you're wearing, no matter how your hair is styled, or if you have hair, no matter what designer or flea market clothes you're wearing, the beauty that I'm referencing has absolutely, positively nothing to do with your external. It has everything to do with the way that God made your insides, meaning you are made in the image of Him. And so that's when I say, hey, beautiful, or hi, handsome. That's what I'm speaking to. But share with our listeners how confidence came to be the fragrance that you wear daily in all of these stories. I mean, and I could go on, but I'll touch on a couple. You had two major car accidents. You live with lupus, and you have a rare eye disease, and have had to endure the loss of two parents. I want to know, how do you get the confidence to get up, and not only get up, but strive and thrive in the things that God called you to do?
That's such a great question that sometimes I have to ask myself. Because I don't understand it half the time myself. So I promise you, I can only say that I am a worshiper. And my worship experience brings me to an attitude of gratitude and confidence in knowing that who I am. And I'm just crazy enough to believe. Like, I always tell people, oh, I ain't take my medication today. I need my medication, so that's why I'm acting like this, y'all, you know. And so I still haven't taken my medication. So I'm crazy enough to believe that who God says I am,
you really are.
That's who I am.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't always believe that because, you know, I have this thing called the rare eye disease. So coming up in school, I couldn't see. And so because I couldn't see, I couldn't learn. But they didn't understand that I couldn't see because I had these thick Coca-Cola, Pepsi on top of A, B, and W glasses. I mean, they were thick. So you would think, well, can't you see? But I still couldn't see because people didn't realize it had nothing to do with my eyeballs. It had everything to do with my cornea. So people couldn't understand why I couldn't see, so they laughed at me. They talked about me. They talked about my glasses. They called me names. So I didn't really have the confidence.
Right.
But I'll tell you a little story that happened really quickly when I was in, I think I was in, see, there goes that brain thing, so I'm not going to try and figure it out. But I was younger. Let's say it like that. I was younger. I was going to camp, and I never really liked to go anywhere unless my daddy was going. So I always go, is my daddy going? And my mom would say, no, but you are, right? So one summer she sends me to camp. And while we're there, we had to do this homework assignment about writing about your personality. So I did the assignment. I got up in front of the class and spoke. Now look at God already setting me up, right? Bam, there it is right there. So I got up in front of the class. I spoke. I read my essay about my personality, and I won a trophy. I won a trophy. Like, really? You're giving me a trophy for who I am? Oh, Sookie, Sookie now. This is good stuff. Well, I must be somebody. But I still wasn't able to walk that out. But it was God setting me up, planting a seed in me so that I could not just have this confidence for me, but help someone else have the confidence, because what he's called me to do in Colossians is to give people a glimpse of good living and the living God. And I can't help you see what I don't see. And if I don't see it in me, I certainly won't see it in you.
You ain't never lying.
So exactly
you ain't
where
never
it
lying.
Comes from. Never lying. Never
you
mind.
Know, I noticed that a lot of our a lot of the end tool ends up one of the ones that continues to sharpen the other tools. That's what I should say. One of the tools that continues to sharpen the other tools in your toolbox is gratitude, and gratitude is such a powerful weapon. And I say weapon because you can use it for good all the time. That weapon can be used for good all the time. It won't turn on you and it won't betray you. Gratitude in the most difficult and devastating situations can bring you back to peace, can bring you back to joy. It can be the compass that sets your feet back on courage and or confidence. It can also be the thing that, of course, centers you back to the lover of our soul, which is, of course, whom we call Jesus the Christ, God the Father. And so I want to ask this because I know that there are some listeners out that are listening in and tuning in that life has hit them hard and they've been knocked down and they're probably not sure that they can get up, or better yet, they're not sure that they even want to get up, RJ. I even know some folk who could say every time that they take two steps forward, it seems like they get knocked back one. And or every time they get up, they seem like something or someone is knocking them right back down. So what words of encouragement would you have for someone in that kind of a situation? Who gets hit, who seems like life has just hit them so hard that they don't even want to get up?
Wow. You know, Mara, I know there are people listening right now who really feel that way.
Yeah.
So I have 2.5 quotes I want to share. One, you talked about gratitude, and gratitude makes sense of our past. It brings peace to our today, and it creates a vision for tomorrow. So the first thing I want to say is have an attitude of gratitude, because no matter how bad it is, it really, and I know this is cliche, but it really could be worse. Yes, I was in a wheelchair. Yes, I had lost my ability to walk. Yes, I had a brain injury, but I still had my life. Gratitude. The second thing I want to share is it does not matter how many times you get knocked down. Courage is getting knocked down but getting back up. If you get knocked down 7 times, get up 8 times. Be determined to put one foot in front of the other, because somebody, believe it or not, somebody needs what you, my friend, what you have in order to succeed in life. And I know you think it's not much, I ain't got much, but and what can anybody get from me? But listen, somebody needs you in order to survive. In one of my broken states right after the accident, after I got on the computer, if I have time to tell this really quick story. Do I have time to tell a really quick story?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
This is to answer your question. I'm on the computer. I'm on Periscope. And I just decided this one day I'm going to do something I don't hardly do. I'm going to scroll. I'm going to look through. And I looked through, and I came upon this broadcast that was on there. And this young girl was on there crying. And I'm like, is she serious? So I started watching it. And she was really crying out for help. Now, mm-hmm. I didn't know her, never seen her before. I said, oh, this is what I told the enemy. Oh, hell no. Okay, I'm talking to hell right now. You are not going to take what God has given on my watch. I could have been waddling in my own stuff, crying woe is me, but I had to get my eyes off myself and see that somebody else was dying to live, and I had something that they needed to survive. So I went on a search through Google, through Facebook, through Periscope. I said, I'm going to find this young lady. Because she is not going to die on my watch. It's not happening. And I went through and I found her. I sent her a message through Facebook. She said she read the message and she said, who's this crazy lady? I ain't responding to her. And I just kept messaging her, I need you to call me. Here's my phone number. I need you to call me. And she finally called me. And I told her, I said, girl, you ain't dying on my watch. Because she's about not wanting to live. I said, you will live because God has purpose for you. And I started talking to her. How can I support you? I can't take care of myself, but how can I support you? Because I got an attitude of gratitude. It could be worse. That could be me right there talking about I'm done. So what we have to do is be willing to get our eyes off ourselves. You think it's bad? Go look at somebody else's situation.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's bad not having the shoes? You think it's bad that I can't wear shoes and I can't even wear shoes? You think it's bad? I don't, because I saw a man that didn't have no feet.
Yeah,
I saw a man who had his feet on backwards. So why should I be talking about I don't have no shoes? I could be, but here's my word of encouragement. Be grateful.
Amen.
An
Amen.
Attitude of gratitude will take you to places you've never been, help you meet people you never thought you could meet. Be grateful.
Amen. Amen. You know, RJ, one of the things that I have been extremely successful at doing, when I see depression, sadness, or a lackluster energy towards life because something has knocked me down or, you know, hurt my heart or, you know, attempted to break my spirit, you know, one of the main things that I do is I get the attention off myself. I take the eyes off myself and my situation,
mm-hmm.
and I look
mm-hmm.
outside of my situation, and I begin to look for opportunities, seek opportunities to infuse myself into other people's lives or into areas that I know could utilize my skill set, my gifts, or my talents, which in most cases it's a homeless shelter or it's a hospital, or it's sometimes if I'm not in a position to do that, I'll go through the phone book and start looking at VA organizations that I can volunteer at, because what I know to be true, and I'm sure you can co-sign on this blank check, what I know to be true is even on my most depleted and worst day, there's always somebody who's in a situation that could look up to where I am, even though where I am is a lot lower than where I know I should be. And so I say that to say, when I begin to volunteer and to serve other people and to help other people, when I'm, you know, feeling like I got more bills than I got paycheck, or when my heart it got broken and there's a breakup, a loss of a relationship, or the devastation of you staying in a space or a house and then finding out you're in an apartment, or you had a nice cush job or making nice money speaking or doing TV, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you're hoping, you know, that you can get a job or a gig someplace. When one finds themselves in that situation, I double dog dare you to go and serve somebody who don't have half of what you got. Now, while you're sitting there complaining or crying about the 900 square foot apartment you may be living in, or the bus pass you may be carrying, or the $5 in the bank account, I could tell you about somebody who ain't got a bank account. I could tell you about somebody who, like you said, don't have 2 feet to wait at the bus stop, let alone a hand to pass the bus pass to the bus driver, or eyes to see where to put the bus pass once they get on the bus, or money to even get the bus pass. There's always somebody that's worse off.
Well,
you know,
well.
And so it has been, like you said, it's the thing that brings me back to who I was created to be, who Daddy created me to be. And one of the things that I share, and I know you probably share it in your own way as well, usually your freedom, your vision, and your purpose is outside It starts in you, but it impacts and affects other people's lives, mm-hmm. meaning it goes mm-hmm. outside of you, the vessel, the being. And on that note, I'm going to open up the lines. If there's anybody that would like to call in with a question or a comment, we'd like to offer you that and extend that opportunity. Call in to 347-324-5246. That's 347-324-5246. Between RJ and myself, we have probably 40 plus years of experience in getting over some of the most devastating situations, from the loss of employment to the loss of mobility to the loss of a marriage to the loss of, we have a wealth of experience between just the two of us. So if that's you and you're listening to this conversation, wondering how do you pick your head back up when you've had a divorce, or you've had an abortion, or you've been molested or raped or abused, or had been the victim of domestic violence. If that's you, you can call in. That's 347-324-5246. Press 1. RJ and I are availing ourselves right now. And if we can't share with you a way, the steps, the tools, some practical tools, we'll pray with you. If we can't give that to you right now, we'll take a moment and just pray, because sometimes you're just in need of a prayer. You're just in need of someone to remind you of what God is able to do in your life, because we can tell you with boldness and confidence, our God is not a respecter of person, and if he'll do it for RJ and he'll do it for Mara Gale, trust me, he got a blessing with your name on it. So we're going to take a little quick station break. We're gonna pause for the cause. We'll take a very quick break. I want to remind you, you're listening to Up to Me Radio. Under our umbrella is also Up to Me Magazine. Our show is available on podcast, on iTunes, Google Play, as well as the Stitcher app. And if you're listening via the podcast, if you there are other shows that I have of OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show, please feel free to check those out. And if you're a first-time listener, we hope you become a long-time listener. And when we come back, if we have some calls, we'll take those calls, or we'll pray for you if that's you and you're standing in the need of prayer because you want to be next. We believe your blessing is in the atmosphere. So we'll take a break and we'll be back on the other side of that break.
We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new uplifting and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn. Less stuff, more meaningful life. And an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels, and so much more. So get your subscription today at uptomemagazine.com. That's up2magazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Welcome back to OMG. I'm your host, Mara Gale, and my special guest tonight has been none other than RJ Jackson, the courage giver. RJ, I would love to, in the event someone's going to call in, but there's a couple of things that I want to ask you that I'd love for you to share with our listeners. Can you share with us your most recent book title and what that's about? And then tell us a little bit about your upcoming women's conference that's taking place in March.
Oh, cool. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that. So actually, as you know, I did suffer a brain injury, but during that time, God blessed me to pen 3 books, 2 of them which are Amazon bestsellers. Woo. And out of those 2, the one that makes my heart beat the most, it isn't my last book, but it's my second last book, and it's Strands of Pearls for the Girls. It's a book that I wrote intentionally for my teenage granddaughters to remind them of who they are, to give them nuggets and pearls to wear not only around their neck but around their heart, so that nobody can come and steal their heart from the King of Kings, but that they will wait for their Boaz, that they will, while they're waiting, live life full to the purpose that they were created for. So in the book, Strands of Pearls for the Girls, I give them little nuggets. For example, if he hits you once, he'll hit you twice. Don't believe, baby, it won't happen again. And I talk to them from the heart about life. And so that's one of my favorite books. I've been able to go on tour and do that book across the United States, and it's been such a blessing to work with the teen girls and groups that serve teen girls. So that's the book. You can go on my website, rjjackson.life, find out more information about that. And our women's conference, thank you so much for asking. It's our 6th annual women's conference.
Woo!
It's coming up in March. Yes,
March,
girl.
March 16th and 17th.
Yes, because after the first year, I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing this no more. But here we are, out of obedience, going year number 6. It's not easy, but obedience is better than easy. I made that scripture up. I'm telling you, it's the truth.
Mate, that ain't no scripture. That's a statement. You made that statement up.
Well, I made that statement up. But it's the truth. It's the truth. You just do what God called you to do, okay? Because the end result of when you don't is worse, okay?
Yes,
than the pain that you're going to have to go through with people.
Yes, it
but
is.
It's a conference, a queen fit for the king. We're helping women find wholeness in their life. Stop compartmentalizing your life and be healed and be whole, because that's what God called us to do. In Mark, it says that God sent his son that we could be sozoed in the Greek, S-O-Z-O. But as women, we have a tendency to live an S-O-S-O life, so-so. We settle for our man. We settle on a job. We settle for the car. But God said, no, I want you complete. I want you healed. I want you whole.
Hallelujah.
S-O-Z-O. So that's what we try to get women to see. We give them the tools, like you've been saying all evening. Very powerful word, practical tools. Teach me how to do this. And that's what we do. We have our signature men's panel that comes every year and blows us out the water, tells us what we need to know as women from a man's point of view. And it's amazing. As you said, it's coming up March the 16th and 17th of 2018. This year, for the first time, a 2-day conference, Friday
Woo!
Night, all day Saturday. It's going to be amazing.
You got one of my BFFs in that conference. She's one of
yes,
your
Yes, we do,
my
Miss
girl,
Zara. Yes, Miss Zara is going to be there.
Yeah.
Yes, she is. We're excited about that. We actually have women that's coming from Alabama, from Maryland, from different parts of California that's going to speak hope and possibility into our lives. And, of course,
so
your girl RJ is going to be there speaking as well.
Let our folks, what's the website that they can go to? Because I'm going to wrap up, but I want them to be able to go to the website to find out more about your conference. What website can they go to?
AQueenFitForTheKing.co.
AQueenFitForTheKing.
The
King. Perfect.
.co.
Dot.
And if they accidentally... Yes, if they accidentally type in .com, it'll don't worry.
Perfect. And then, RJ, just give a quick social media handle, one, or the website. Give your website, because I've got to close out the show, but I would love for them to be
awesome.
Able to connect with you on social.
Social media, everything is The Courage Giver. Website, rjjackson.life. That's rjjackson.life.
Awesome. Well, RJ, it has been a joy and a pleasure and an honor to have you as my special guest tonight. Thank you so much for the tools. I am more than confident that our listeners will be able to apply those tools to their lives. Of course, I'm Mara Gale. I can be reached on social media everywhere at Mara Gale, and my website is maragale.com, and our film is at stemthemovement.org. We're also available, myself as well as STEM, to come out and speak and share. Just reach out to me on social media. And last but not least, a special plug and thanks to Up to Me Radio, Up to Me Magazine, and the entire staff for making this vehicle possible. Until next time, dear friends, keep the faith, keep looking forward, and never, ever, 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 ever give up. God bless you.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Oh.